In the last gospel that we'll read at the end of Mass, the proper last gospel, it says, "Compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Simple truth. That's what we'll speak about today. I like the simple truths and facts of life. Today is the month of June, of course, and it is the month of the Sacred Heart. We should focus on that. Remember what our Blessed Lord himself told St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. "Behold this heart which has so loved men and has loved so little in return." I think that that is one of those matters, those facts, that we tend to doubt. I mean, that God could possibly love us. If you think about it, I bet everyone here, to some degree or another, falls into that. I was reading a book on the Sacred Heart this weekend, and I found a quote. I'll read the entire one to you because I think it should make this thought hit home. An anonymous person said, "If anything could shake my faith in the mystery of the Eucharist, it would not be the infinite power which God shows in changing bread and wine into his body and blood that I would doubt. It would be rather the extreme love of which he gives proof in this mystery. How can what was bread become flesh without ceasing to appear bread? How can the body of Jesus Christ be present in several places at the same time? How can he be enclosed in a space that is almost indivisible? To all that, I have only to reply that God is omnipotent. But if I am asked, how can it be that God loves a creature so feeble and so miserable as man, and loves him with such eagerness, and loves him to the degree that he has loved him, I confess that I have no reply to make, that it is a truth that passes my comprehension, that the love which Jesus bears us is an excessive love, an ineffable love, an incomprehensible love, a love which ought to amaze and astonish any reasonable man." While the reality of God's charity for us might be impressive, we cannot doubt it. Every Friday, we pray in the perpetual novena to the Sacred Heart, "Sacred Heart of Jesus, I believe in thy love for me." But still, if you are a little bit of a doubting Thomas, listen to St. Augustine, a great doctor of the church. "God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us." And St. Augustine says also, and to understand this quote, you must understand that he is picturing our Lord on the cross, on Calvary. And he says, "As they," the bystanders, "were looking on, so we too gaze on his wounds as he hangs. We see his blood as he dies. We see the price offered by the Redeemer, touch the scars of his resurrection. He bows his head as if to kiss you. His heart is made bare open, as it were, in love to you. His arms are extended that he may embrace you. His whole body is displayed for your redemption. Ponder how great these things are. Let all this be rightly weighed in your mind. As he was once fixed to the cross in every part of his body for you, so he may now be fixed in every part of your soul." These thoughts, these realities really, of the love of the Sacred Heart for man, they're not meant to lead us into presumption, nor are they meant to confirm us in whatever attachment to sin we might have. Instead, They give us great confidence in our Savior. And they call also, little children, for a return of love. In today's gospel that we read in this Mass as the proper last gospel, a feast is prepared. Men are invited, but the men do not show up because they're all too busy with other things. One bought a farm and he couldn't come. Another married a wife. A third bought some oxen and he had to try them. They failed to see the goodness of the man who took all of the time, made all of the effort, and even showed the great thoughtfulness of inviting them. They failed to see it, and so they didn't have time. Well, they really did politely excuse themselves. Pray, hold me excused. And sure, they believe themselves to have a real and legitimate excuse for not coming. But in the end, they didn't come. And what had happened is they lost their places, and their places were filled up by those who would come. This is how it works in the order of grace. But isn't this the whole story of man towards Holy Communion, the great banquet which our Father has prepared for us? We all have excuses, but St. Augustine tells us very directly, away, away with wicked and vain excuses. Let us come to the supper wherewith we may be inwardly nourished. We get so entangled in material matters that we easily forget the goodness, the infinite goodness of God in preparing for us this banquet at the holy altar. And furthermore, we have the audacity to complain of our own spiritual failures and weaknesses, how often we fall when a certain temptation occurs or an occasion to sin presents itself. But if we stay away from frequent communion, then we really have no reason to be surprised and no right to complain. St. Thomas Aquinas again, he tells us that Holy Communion is the greatest remedy against not one, but all temptations. But especially, he says, it preserves holy chastity. And do you know why this is? I never thought of it this way, but here's his answer. He says, hell and the devil is subdued by the death of our Lord on the cross. This sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, is a representation of this same death on the cross. The devils no sooner perceive Christ's body and blood in us in Holy Communion, but they presently fly from us and give place to the angels who assist and accompany us. Isn't that a beautiful thought? That is the reality. But if you still need motivation to come to the banquet to receive Holy Communion, St. Bonaventure gives 8 reasons why some do come more often to communion. First of all, he said, they recognize that they are spiritually sick and weak, and they require a heavenly physician who alone can cure them. The sickness should not keep us away from the physician. Secondly, because while they think of their past, they realize it is so filled with sin, and they have no way to make it up perfectly to divine justice. And so they go to communion where they can offer the Lamb without stain who taketh away the sins of the world. And thirdly, he says, if you are overwhelmed with sorrow and sadness or troubled by violent temptations, Holy Communion is the remedy. If you have some favor to ask, maybe you're praying for someone's conversion, then you should come to communion. And he says why? Because our Lord in the Holy Eucharist is our mediator with the Father. Fifthly, he said, we ought to receive communion as a means of thanking God perfectly for a favor. Sixth, to honor a particular saint. And seventhly, that many people go to help their friends and their family. They might be going through a hard time. Your Holy Communion could help them. And certainly, a Holy Communion helps the souls in purgatory. But lastly, and this is the most perfect, generous souls who are inflamed by a true desire of loving our Savior receive him in the sacrament of the Blessed Eucharist in order to be still more inflamed with his love. What a beautiful thought. All of them motives to go to communion. Now you children here in the front three pews, in just a little bit, perhaps about a half an hour or so, our Lord will come to you. He will come into your heart, into your soul for the very first time. He's going to give you many graces and many privileges. Ask him. Remember, he's your God. He's your best friend. He wants to give you things. Ask him, and don't be afraid to ask for whatever it is that you want. But pray above all for your mom and dad and for all the graces they need. And for the rest of you, the rest of us, look back as you see these nine children receive their first Holy Communion. Look back to your own first communion. What would you have done differently? What would you do differently now after so many Holy Communions? After all, we should also, finally, think of the tremendous charity of the Sacred Heart that has caused him to work miracle after miracle so that he could not only remain on our altars and so that he could be with us to the end, but so that he could become our food, our nourishment, and unite his whole being to ours, so as to strengthen us in this veil of tears. Think of it and make your resolutions. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.